Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yo, si helele mama, helele. 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 Siani la si chama, di homo di fedile.
Fedile ni bo papa,
batware tuli basa. Helele, siti mela si batser, bafele ticho hane. Helele, basimani basi tana, bachabile so weto. Helele, masiani basat, basetsi bali bangwe. Helele, angli bonen, matata Afrika. Helele, yo, si helele mama, 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 helele, no mama.
Right, it's another beautiful weekend. Part sunny and a bit chill as well, but a pleasant weather it is here in the city of Manchester. Welcome to your Afrocentric magazine show and radio, Stuck in African Weekly, live on your number one Afro radio station in the whole of Northwestern England. We're based here in the city of Manchester, where you know, we serve you nothing but the very best of Africa content and radio, music, entertainment, sports. I mean, you name it, just as you love to be served in the African way. That's what you get with us on this dial. So, my name is Chris Okunua, and this is how we get it down on Saturdays like this. 4 p.m. UK time, which should be 4 p.m. also Nigerian time. You know, I mean, at this time of, at this season of the year, it should be same time in West Africa now. So there shouldn't be issue about joining us every Saturday at 4 p.m. Local time as well in West Africa, I mean. So what we do on this show, we bring you developments around motherland Africa, and we also talk about our culture, because we're looking to promote the African culture and tourism as well. We want you to visit motherland and explore the beautiful land, the great and blessed land of Africa. And we talk entertainment and we talk sport on this show. All right, a big shout out to my man Emmanuel Atim, who also has been able to hold it down for several weeks, running to mud while I was busy with one or two things, you know. I manage him wish to be here with me today so we can both serve you as you will love, but then he's also occupied with something now, and hopefully soon he's gonna make a return to the show. Without further ado, let's get underway from the segment, which we call the news and the current affairs. You know, it's just about bringing you development from Africa, things happening and unfolding in the continent of Africa. All right, and we'll start with this one about a visit of Pope Leo the 14th, who will depart on Monday, April 13th, for his first major overseas trip of this year. It's going to be a 10-day journey to four African countries, designed to draw global attention to the continent's needs and to highlight the church's fastest growing region. From April 13 to 23, the pontiff will cover nearly 18,000 kilometers, visiting 11 countries. 11 cities and towns across Algeria, Cameroon, Angola, and Equatorial Guinea. The schedule includes 18 flights and packed program of meetings, speeches, and pastoral activities. Cardinal Michael Seni, a senior Vatican official and close advisor to the Pope, described the visit as a sign of Leo's commitment to Africa. So that's a good one there from the Pope, who will be visiting Africa from Monday. He's going to stay back there in Africa for 10 days. That's probably to to beam light on issues and be deepening the continent of Africa. Of course, there should be some religious angle to it as well, just to encourage the Catholics in Africa as well. So it's going to be a very good one there in our ramification, talking about a visit of Pope to Africa. Now, let's talk about this one again. President Donald Trump's overhaul of U.S. refugee policies has created a major shift in the number and nationalities of people admitted to the country, U.S. government data shows. Since October 2025, 4,499 refugees were resettled in the U.S. according to Refugee Processing Center. All except three were from Afghanistan. The remainder of the 4,499 people were from South Africa. In the last full fiscal year of the Biden administration, which started in October 2013, 125,000 people were accepted from 85 countries. Last year, Trump halted refugee admissions, including for applicants from war zones, but allowed Afrikaners, a white minority group he said was persecuted, to seek resettlement. South Africa objected to his characterization, though. So that's just to tell you this. Out of 4,499, that's just practically 4,500 refugees applications that were accepted in the U.S. over the last 1 year. Only three of those were not South Africa. So that means practically 100% of the accepted refugees application, or those seeking asylum in the U.S. successfully, were from South Africa. You remember, a U.S. president at the time said the Afrikaners, that's the whites, they like to call them the Dutch and the French settlers in South Africa, were being persecuted, which the government of South Africa has repeatedly denied or debunked. Interesting. That's some special consideration there for the Afrikaners by the Trump administration. And now, let's go to the Horn of Africa. Djibouti's president, Ismaël Guelleh, has won an election with 97.8% of the vote, keeping him at the helm of the strategically placed Horn of African nation for his sixth term, a preliminary official result show. The 78-year-old Sole challenger Mohamed Farah Samatta got 2.19% of the vote in a poll boycotted by most of the opposition. In power for 27 years, Guelleh had promised to step down but ran for re-election after the constitution was amended in November to remove the upper age limit of 75 for presidential candidate. Very interesting story. A presidential election, the winner, who is the incumbent, garnered 97.8% of the total vote, while his challenger only managed to get 2.9 19%. Interesting. This is indeed interesting. We understand that major oppositions in the country boycotted re-election because the constitution was amended to allow the president to seek re-election because there was the age limit of 75 before now, but the amendment allowed the president, who I believe is 78 years, to rerun to contest, and of course he contested and he won almost 98% of the vote. The good thing is Djibouti, a country in the Horn of Africa, has been very much stable, at least compared to what has been happening to other African countries in the Horn of the continent, Somalia, Ethiopia, Eritrea and the likes. And I think Kenya as well has been stable though, but economically Djibouti is believed to be doing not so bad or doing well as well. But then when the people say they need a change, then they just need a change at time. It is not just because you are not competent, but the polling results suggest otherwise, that the president could just be very much popular with the people. But the election itself has been marred by withdrawal by major oppositions in the country. All right. Right, from the Horn of Africa, we are moving on to West Africa. Hundreds of workers, union members and opposition supporters marched in Senegal's capital, Dakar, on Wednesday to protest what they say are broken government promises and a worsening cost of living as the country is plagued by a severe debt crisis. The protest was organized by the country's main labor unions and the Front for the Defense of Democracy and the Republic, also known as FDR Opposition Coalition. Modi Guro, Secretary General of the National Confederation of Senegalese Workers, the country's largest labor union, said the government had betrayed a deal last year that had frozen strikes in exchange for promises of better wages and working conditions. Authorities say a record debt crisis inherited from the previous administration has left the government with little money to spend. Some protesters chanted slogans calling for the ousting of Prime Minister Ousmane Sonko. Still in West Africa, Nigeria has convicted nearly 400 Islamist militants following mass trials held this week in the capital, Abuja. The country's attorney general said yesterday the prosecutions, which began on Tuesday, are part of a series of trials involving Boko Haram and Islamic State West African province suspects that started in 2017 with more than 2,000 defendants. Out of those 2,000, we understand about 400 of them now has been sentenced, convicted by the court sitting in Abuja. All right, some sort of welcome development. And still in Nigeria, Nigerian energy firm Oando plans to raise up to $750 million this year for a drilling campaign that could boost output by 300%, tapping improved investor appetite for West African producer amid turmoil linked to the Iran war. CEO Wale Tinubu told Reuters, the oil and gas company is among a handful of local companies that have snapped up assets from oil majors in the past decade as they exit Nigeria onshore. This year, surging LNG prices should open more funding sources for producers in the region. That's coming from the CEO, Wale Tinubu. While in the past, the company had struggled with securing cash for drilling due to investor worries that Africa was an unsafe environment, the Iran war and Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022 have shifted that view. And that's a very big advantage to local Nigeria oil company who are looking to raise more money this year to expand output by drilling, oil at some other news site. Welcome development or so. Now, a Turkish drilling ship docked at the port of Mogadishu on Friday ahead of Somalia's first offshore oil drilling project, the two countries announced. Hydrocarbon development deal signed in 2024 granted Turkey's state-owned energy company the right to explore three offshore blocks of around 5,000 square kilometers each. In late 2024, another Turkish vessel carried out seismic surveys in the three blocks to identify drilling sites. Yeah, that's good there for Somalia. A Turkish drilling ship has already docked at the port of Mogadishu looking to begin offshore oil drilling. That's a very massive news there for Somalia. Somalia has long, for several years, been the news for the wrong reason, of course. Unrest and all of that. Now, seems to be some piece of good news with Turkish drilling ship docking, looking to begin offshore oil drilling, which, of course, will generate some sort of income for the Horn of African nation, Turkey, Somalia. And now we're moving down to Southern Africa. Zimbabwe launched its upgraded banknote on Tuesday with an appeal to national pride and confidence. The Big Five series featured the country's iconic animals to symbolize national identity and resilience. The rollout begins with 10, 20, and 50 Zimbabwe gold notes. Higher denominations will follow later, depending on demand and monetary conditions. Citizens have long distrusted their own currency, viewing US dollars and South African rand as more stable. The new notes are part of wider efforts to restore public trust in local money. In 2024, the Zimbabwe dollar was replaced by the gold-backed Zimbabwe gold, or ZIG, aimed at giving the currency a stable anchor that will protect it from the rapid depreciation of previous monetary regimes. And in South Africa, once more, South Africa and China are finalizing an agreement to grant certain South African export duty-free access as Pretoria endeavors to diversify its trade market amid ongoing tariff tensions with the United States. China will allow duty-free import of South African products under a trade deal which is being finalized, the trade ministry said on Thursday, as Pretoria seeks to increase the scope of its market. China is South Africa's biggest trade partner by country, followed by the United States, which in August last year imposed 30% tariff on some South African products, with Africa caught in US President Donald Trump's trade war. So South Africa are looking to boost and stretch trade relations with China, and China as a result is giving South Africa some duty-free on some product. So that's going to be very, very good for South Africa there. And lastly on this one, the African Space Council chief has won a top award. The ceremony took place at the Air and Space Museum in Le Bourg in the Paris region. This award recognizes his commitment to development of space science and technology in Africa. For Tindiai Ouattara, space is now a central issue for the continent of Africa. Space is no longer luxury, he said. It is an important driver of socio-economic development, he explained, emphasizing the importance of satellite data for decision-making. On a vast continent like Africa, traditional data collection methods can take several years. Space technologies, on the other hand, allow for the acquisition of information in near real time. So that's massive there, the development Africa is trying to achieve with space technology. And the chief of African Space Council won a top recognition for this, talking to Tindiai Ouattara, for his efforts, for his push to, help Africa gain ground when it's come to space technology, which I strongly believe the continent needs real bad. That's going to be the news and current affairs segment of this show today, Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana. And now we are going to take a pause. When we come back, it will be time for us to talk culture and tourism time for us to showcase a particular culture and people in Africa. But first, let's enjoy this one from Youssoufa Ndour, the Senegalese legendary singer. He called this one New Africa. And then after that, it will be time for us to enjoy Sorry Sorry as well from Femi Kuti. We'll be back.
Radio Africana.
truth be the things my ears they hear. Politicians and soldiers making meeting. Our country them one we be here. Them they make like say them no no. Say now them a spoil our country so. As them they taparu and they go. Now some my people they follow. I sorry sorry ho. Oh, oh. I sorry for Nigeria. I sorry sorry ho. Oh. Spoil Nigeria so. These politicians and soldiers, them be one and the same. No one defend the other. My people, no one go. But with this kind of leaders, Africa no get hope. Africans will suffer till they suffer reach our home. I'm sorry, sorry, ho. I'm sorry for Nigeria.
Right, we came back from the music. The first one we enjoyed was New Africa from Yusuf Ndour, and that's Femi Kuti, Sorry Sorry. Still Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana with your man, Chris Okunua. And now we're moving into the culture and tourism segment of the show today. And today we'll be talking about a particular people, a particular tribe and people in Africa, in West Africa. We're talking about the Egu people, or called Ogu people. These are a tribe of people that are located in Nigeria and part of Benin Republic. So the Egu people, also known as the Ogu, are an ethnic group primarily located in southwestern Nigeria and part of Benin Republic, known for their rich cultural heritage and historical significance. Historical background: the Egu people are predominantly found in Lagos and Ogun State in Nigeria, particularly in Badagry, a coastal town that serves as a historical hub. They are descendant of those who migrated from regions in modern-day Benin, such as Waida, Alada, and Weme, during the 18th century, largely due to the Dahomey Wars. This migration led them to settle in Nigeria, where they established communities that have preserved their cultural identity despite external influences. Yeah, the Egun people speak the Gun language, which belongs to the Igbe language family, closely related to Ewe and Fon. Within the Egun community, various dialects exist, though, including Tevi, Swela, Seto, and Toli, reflecting their linguistic diversity and cultural richness. The Egun people are known for their vibrant cultural practices, which include fishing, coconut processing, and salt production. These activities are not only vital for their economy, but also play a significant role in their social and cultural life. Festivals such as the Zambeto and Egungun are celebrated, honoring deities and ancestral spirits, which are central to their spiritual beliefs. Now, today, the Egun community continues to thrive in Badagry and surrounding areas, contributing to local economies while maintaining their unique cultural identity, despite facing challenges such as urbanization and cultural cultural assimilation. They remain resilient, preserving their traditions and way of life. Right, that's talking Egun. Social and political organization of the Egun people. The Egun people traditionally organize socially around extended family. That's extended family structures, which remain predominant despite emerging local family influences due to urbanization and modernization. Kingship ties emphasize patrilineal descent, with authority flowing through male lineages. Though women hold significant roles in household decision-making and child-rearing, reflecting vestiges of historical gender empowerment within the family. Politically, the Ogun maintain a monarchical system rooted in divine kingship, with the Aholu or Akran in some contexts serving as the paramount ruler, selected through historical migration traditions from areas like K2 and endorsed by community consensus. Okay, so that's just telling you about the Egun people, which predominantly are in southwestern Nigeria and some part of Benin Republic. I think up to Togo you find a pocket of Egun people as well. Right, today religiously, the Egun people, they've adopted, of course, Christianity mostly, and it's very, very common to find it, some of them to be Muslim, but their traditional religion is still being observed, or, you know, being practiced by some Egun people. At times, people really want to mistake them for Yoruba because they live within the Yoruba settings, and of course, it's easy for them to be mistaken for Yoruba, but the Egun people have done so well to preserve their cultural identity. At the moment, places that you can visit in Egun land, right, just so you know, because we are encouraging you to travel down to Africa to see beautiful places. Because I would recommend personally you visit Badagry. In Badagry, yeah, Badagry is a place that holds so much history, particularly during the slave trade era. The Badagry Slave Museum and Black History Museum, a poignant reminder of the dark chapter in African history. This museum showcases the harrowing experience of enslaved Africans and their journey across the Atlantic. So if you visit Egun land, particularly in Badagry, you should see that place, that building, talking the Badagry Slave Museum and Black History Museum. There's also the Velekete Slave Market, the Agiatri Monument, the Gberefu Island, and Badagry Heritage Museum. Also, if you visit Benin Republic, pretty much a very stable country and peaceful country as well, you'll be able to see a lot of things in that's beyond Egun land. The Marché d'Antokpa, a vibrant market offering wide range of goods, including fabrics, food, and household items. Not forgetting the Pinjarri National Park, rare places of Abome, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, showcasing royal artifacts and historical relics from the Dahomey Kingdom. So, for the sake of time, we're just going to leave it here on today's edition of Culture and Tourism. And then quickly, just before we go on a short break, I quickly want us to run through entertainment. So we'll have a break after this to come back and talk a sport, okay? Right, there is a sad news coming from South Africa. Africa Bambaataa, the influential rapper, DJ and producer who helped shape the early sound of hip-hop, has died at the age of 67. Born Lance Taylor, he reportedly passed away on Thursday in Pennsylvania due to complications from cancer. Widely regarded as one of the founding figures of hip-hop, Bambaataa rose to prominence in the early 1980s. His groundbreaking track, Planet Rock, blended hip-hop with electronic music, helping to introduce the electro-funk genre to a global audience. As the founder of the Universal Zulu Nation, he played a key role in promoting hip-hop as a movement centered on peace, unity, love, and form. Born and raised in Bronx, Bambaataa began his music journey with the release of Zulu Nation Zulu Nation Throwdown in 1980. His career gained momentum after performing at iconic New York venues, thanks in part to support from Fab Five Freddy. Influenced by electronic group Kraftwerk, he brought a futuristic sound to hip-hop that would define an era. Wow, wow, huge contribution from this legend. But he is no more. He has breathed his last on Thursday, but his legacy definitely will live on and will remember him today. Rest in peace, Africa Bambaataa. Right, we're going to take a pause now, and when we come back, it will be time for us to go straight into to talk sport. A lot to talk about on sport today. So let's first enjoy this one from... It's an Egun song. His name is Kelly. He called this one Jago. You know, we talk about Egun people. And then after that, we're going to enjoy Jerusalem from... Yeah. We're going to enjoy Jerusalem. That's taking my producer by surprise, talking Oluwole. We'll be back. Let's enjoy this music.
I'm out for my bread, they want me dead. I'm never scared, nah nah. Always ahead, always prepared. Don't know if you do, nada. Make them miss me with that bullshit. I don't want no drama. I know they like to do revenge. I leave it to karma. Shoot, what you not do? Ain't got no clue. I want less ever. I just want the job is life, I know I'm the level. Only cool, try it times two. Allow me to flex. I want to be go bill. Living life to the max, to be too dope. When I show all of them, what my
welcome back to Africa Weekly live on Radio Africana. Now we're going to spend the last 15 minutes of this show talking sport, because there's a lot to talk in sport today. Like we say in Africa, charity begins at home, and our home, though we are based here in Manchester, United Kingdom, but our home, as far as this, the concept of this show is concerned, is in Africa. So we're going to start up there, then we'll be back to talk the EPL and some other league. In Europe particularly. So I'll start with the fixtures of the Nigerian Premier Football League. Yeah, the fixtures of the Nigerian Premier Football League for this weekend. That's talking the round 34. Later today, not even later today, the game should be on. That's talking Bende Insurance playing host to Abia Warriors at the Samuel Ogbemudia Stadium in Benin. Yes, the live update from that game shows that the Benin Arsenal, as Benin Insurance, a fondling called, being heard. not heard because game is not over. It's still a barren affair at the moment in Benin, where Benin Insurance are playing host to Abia Warriors. Okay, tomorrow in the MPF, talking the Nigerian Premier Football League, we'll have Barawa FC host Remo Stars. And that's definitely going to be at the Sani Abacha Stadium in Kano. In Yenegua, the Samson Yeboah Stadium. Bayelsa United, we host Wicked Tourist of Bauchi. And the People's Elephant, Etrim likes to call it the Elephant Park in Aba. Former champions who at the moment are not doing so well and not living up to their big name in Nigerian football, African football. These are, I'm talking about back-to-back CAF Champions League winners, the Enyimba FC of Aba. They will play host to Katsina United in Aba. Ikorodu City in Lagos, talking about at the Mobolaji Johnson Stadium in Olikon, Lagos. We host Kano Pillars, the same Mesugida, Kun Khalifa, host Warri Wolves. We had a sad news about the owner of Kun Khalifa, Coach Chijoki, yeah, that's his name. We heard he died during the week. May his soul rest in perfect peace. Right, Niger Tornadoes host Rangers International FC. They are the Adokiye Amasimeka Stadium at the Garden City, that's talking the city of Port Harcourt. Rivers United, we host Plateau United. And the last game that I'll be talking about, not the last yet, I mean the last for tomorrow anyway, is going to be Shooting Stars Sport Club of Ibadan playing host to Kwara United at the Adama Sigba Stadium in Ibadan. Economy Warriors host Nasarawa United. So that's the fixtures, comprehensive fixtures of the Nigerian Premier Football League. At the moment, Rangers, beg your pardon, who we understand are in trouble with the league authority for some improper conduct. They are still on top of the table after 33 round of matches, level a point with second place Rivers United and defending champ. Remo Stars are the defending champions anyway, and who are battling relegation at the moment. So it's Rivers United and table toppers Rangers International having same point, 55. Abia Warriors is not far off on 53 points in third position. The top four is completed by Ikorodu City with 52 points. I told you the defending champions are indeed, you know, in relegation battle. They, Kwara United, Wicked Tourist and Kun Khalifa complete the bottom four at the moment with 5 games left. We'll see if they can salvage their season, talking Remo Stars. In the Egyptian Premier League, at the minute, Pyramid FC and Al Masriya in action, and it's a barren affair. Then Al Ahly will later host Smoha SC. MP will play host also to Ceramica Cleopatra later today in the Egyptian Premier League. Okay, so that's the fixtures there for this weekend in the Egyptian Premier League. We might as well try and see the result of matches played leading up to the weekend. Yesterday, we didn't really have much to report during the course of the week, except for the games played on the night with Al Mukwakni Al Arab defeating Ismaili FC by Lungu, just as Petro Jet defeated ZFC 2-1. Egaish also defeated National Bank by Alungu. So that's just some result of matches played in the Egyptian Premier League on Thursday. The standings at the moment, talking the table in the Egyptian Premier League, it Zamalek topping with 20 points. And with 43 points from 20 matches. Pyramid FC in second position with same point. Al Ahly third with 40 points. Then Ceramica Cleopatra completed top four with 38 points. At the bottom, we have Ismaili FC and Faku as well. And also not forgetting Karaba Alasmalia, that's taking it from the rear. The Egyptian Premier League standing in South Africa quickly. Right now, Sekou Koné and Magasi FC, it's a barren affair. Then later today, it's going to be Chippa United versus Polokwane City. Earlier today, Namotville, Golden Arrows defeated Durban City FC by Alungu. Then Siwelele FC and Amazulu FC played out a 1-1 draw. That's talking the result of matches played so far in the South African Premier League. Still to come, like you said, Chippa United will take on Polokwane City, and tomorrow Kaizer Chiefs take on TS Galaxy. Marumo Gallant versus Orbit College. And on the standings, let's have a look at the standings of the South African Premier League. It's Mamelodi Sundowns topping with 56 points from 23 matches, just as Orlando Pirates are hot on the end chase or neck with 55 points from 24 matches. So the leaders, Mamelodi Sundowns, have got a game in hand. Kaizer Chiefs in the third position with 39 points. So these are the real traditional teams in South Africa in the top three. Talking Mamelodi Sundowns, Orlando Pirates, and Kaizer Chiefs. At the bottom, we have Magesi FC, Marumo Gallant, and Abit College. All right, that's about fixtures on and results and the standings of African leagues in Nigeria, Egypt, and South Africa. That's the much we can cover. We would like to talk much about African League, but we do not have all the time. We would have loved to, you know, talk about that. And now let's talk about the Confederation of African Football. The Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe says he would encourage an investigation into corruption at the organization. Senegal's government last month demanded such scrutiny after the national side was stripped of the 2025 African Cup of Nations title by a Confederation of African Football CAF appeals body, with the trophy awarded to final opponent and host nation Morocco. Now, the West Africans are waiting on the outcome of an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, CAS. Motsepe visited Senegal on Wednesday, meeting President Bassirou Diomaye Faye and leading officials from the country's football federation. I welcome any investigation into corruption at CAF, whether it is by a government or an authority or anybody, Motsepe said at news conference in Dakar. Obviously, African football enthusiast have not received the news of stripping Senegal of their AFCON title. Well, not that Senegal have covered themselves in glory with their conduct at the final in Morocco, but then the tournament was concluded in January. And about 2 months later, you are awarding the trophy to the losing finalist. All this should have been decided right there on the pitch when Senegal didn't show off when they walk off the pitch, and they stayed well up to 20 minutes before returning. And Morocco ended up losing. So it's some sort of circus and embarrassing. I mean, it's an embarrassment. Let's call a spade for African football. Now, the Senegalese authority are saying investigation should be opened up at the top hems of CAF to see where things are being compromised. And the president, I mean, the CAF president, Motsepe, is really, really encouraging the investigation. Say, I support this and I welcome it. I think he's in Senegal to try and convince the Senegalese authority to accept the judgment or the decision of the CAF appeal committee. But now, Senegal on their own has appealed that ruling at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. So we're waiting to see what the outcome will be regards that case submitted at CAS by Senegal. Let's talk the EPL now. I don't know where to start with this one. Asna at the moment seems to be, should I say, they're trying to hand City back the title. We all believe or thought that Asna is definitely going to win, or was going to win, but they lost today 2-1 at home to Bournemouth. That's, I mean, at the Emirates Stadium, and that has really thrown things wide open. And just as we talked before now, that everything is in the hands of Asna. I think we can also say at the moment that everything is in the hands of Manchester City, because if the citizens get to win all of their remaining games, including the two outstandings, then we could be saying they will be crowned the champions of England, because Arsenal has blown it again. They fought out today at home to Bournemouth. First, they conceded a goal by EJ Kroupi in the 17th minute, but Eucharist equalized for Arsenal from the spot in the 35th minute. But Scott put it all and he snatched all points for Bournemouth in the 74th minute. The remaining minutes of the game, Arsenal tried to chase the game, but then there was no coming back from that for Arsenal. A real setback there, devastating one, if you ask me, for a lot of Arsenal hopeful fans who would have been hoping that this is finally going to be the season after 22 years. The last time Arsenal won the league was in 2004. That's a long time to wait. But we'll see. It's not yet a huru for Man City themselves. They've had their own struggle this season. That's why you really cannot bet on them to go all the way and win their own remaining matches as well. So still very much open, but far from over, really, as it is now. And also, yesterday in the EPL, we saw West Ham United trashed, you know, the flattened Wolves by 4-0. And yeah, some other fixtures coming up today. At the minute, 90 minute played already. It's Burnley 0, Brighton and Hove Albion 2. Brentford and Everton at the moment are playing out our 2-0 draw, and we are in the stoppages time, so that could also go down as a share of spoils. And later today is going to be struggling Liverpool battling Fulham at the Anfield Stadium. Then tomorrow, Crystal Palace, we host Newcastle United. Also, Nottingham Forest, we play host to Aston Villa. It's going to be Sunderland versus relegation threatening Tottenham. Also, I can't imagine saying this at this time of the season, that Tottenham will be battling relegation for real. All right, let's see what Roberto Di Zerbi bring to the table for Tottenham. Chelsea will take on Manchester City. That's a clash that will be of importance, not just to citizens then, but also to Arsenal fans, who will be hoping that Chelsea will do them a favor by stopping City. Okay, and to a Monday night football here in the city of Manchester, as Manchester United play host to Leeds United. Quickly, in the Spanish La Liga, Eche leading Valencia by a long goal, and it's, you know, 80 minutes gone already. Then today, just some minutes from now, about 35 minutes from now, is going to be Barcelona playing host to Espanyol, and that's definitely going to be a derby, Catalonia derby. Then Sevilla will also play host to Atletico Madrid. You remember what happened in the Champions League with Atletico Madrid taking up, you know, we don't use points at knockout stages, but getting a 2-0 first leg advantage at the Camp Nou against Barcelona. Yesterday, Real Madrid were head to a 1-1 draw by Girona at Santiago Bernabeu. A really, really big setback there. In the Italian Serie A, AC Milan will play host to Udinese any minute from now. Then Atalanta host Juventus later today. That's 7:45 p.m. Kickoff. Yes, that's Coyote signaling to me now that it's just about time to say my bye on the show. Thank you so much. I'll start with you, wonderful Coyote, my producer on this show today. You've done so well. I appreciate Colade, beg your pardon, Colade, wonderful, my producer. You've done so well to ensure the smooth production of this show, as you've always been doing. I appreciate you. And also to you, you and you are there, taking your time to listen to us. Thank you as well. We'll be back here on Saturday to serve you better with a better and more interesting content, you know, African content on radio. So do keep a date with us on Saturday, next week Saturday at 4 p.m. as we return with a fresh edition of Africa Weekly on this Super Die Talking Radio Africana. My name is Chris of Kunua. I'm wishing you a blissful time and do enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye for now.
Backwards.